Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
SM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Thursday morning. And we are starting off the year, of course, talking about, if you want to call in and talk about the attacks that happened over New Year's Day or on New Year's Day, both the one in New Orleans and the one in Las Vegas, we can take your calls and thoughts on that. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Of course, we can only go on the details that we have so far. But they are investigating whether or not those two incidences are connected. But I'm just trying to see if we have any updates here. We know that 15 people were killed in New Orleans. We know that there was 35 people injured, maybe more. And we know that it could have been far worse, that there was an IED in the truck and others planted around the French Quarter. And as I was saying in the last hour, if you've never been to New Orleans, the French Quarter is a very tightly packed area. And even at 3 o'clock in the morning, when it's not, you know, New Year's Eve, it can be a pretty populated area. And I'm sure it's even more populated at that time on, you know, early New Year's Day. When I went to New Orleans, I was very much somebody who was, I had kind of this idea in my mind of what it looked like and of how it was going to be laid out. And then when I got there, and I experienced it, I was like, oh, this is much more packed together than I thought that it was going to be. It's not this wide, expansive area that I assumed that it was going to be. It's really a very concentrated neighborhood. And had those IEDs gone off in that area, it would have done significant damage to historic buildings that probably would not have been able to withstand those blasts, which would have led to a lot more lives lost. And you think, well, that, you know, that area has been subjected to some really bad weather, some horrific hurricanes, but there's a difference between dealing with, you know, 120 mile an hour winds and dealing with an IED blast, which I think buildings there probably would have fallen like dominoes because they're so tightly packed that they're kind of, you know, dependent on each other. So I could only imagine how much worse that could have been had even one of those devices gone off. So we should consider, as tragic as it is, we should consider it a fortunate turn of events that none of them were actually detonated. So we can talk more about that. But on a happier note, or at least on a more nostalgic note, I had the story on Tuesday. I posted that the owners of the Fireside Classic American Grill in Middleborough, Fireside Grill, as many people just refer to it as. The owners, the Deering family, are the former owners of Hell's Blazes Tavern in Middleborough, which closed 20 years ago to the day. 20 years ago, New Year's Eve was their last night of operation, and then they sold it to a dismantling company who moved their operations to that site and eventually took down the tavern, which was not the original 1690 tavern. The 1690 tavern had burned in a fire in 1971, and so what was there was kind of a recreation of that. And when it burned in 1971, it had been the oldest continuously operating tavern in America. And when you, and by the way, it didn't hold that title because it went to being a private club when it first reopened. And interestingly enough, right before it had closed down, the owner, actually a few years before it had had the fire, the owner actually applied to have the name changed because he was looking to get a new year-round liquor license. And ahead of that, there was a new anti-profanity law that was going into place in Middleborough, which I believe is still in effect, because that has been something that we've talked about before, that they had a law about using profanity in public. And as part of that anti-profanity law, they wanted to remove the name Hell's Blazes, which originally came about back in the colonial times because the glow once cast upon the building by a nearby smelting furnace had them say, well, it looks like Hell's Blazes over there. So that's why it got that name. But in 1968, then owner William Akasala volunteered to change the restaurant's name to the 17th Century House, complying with a town anti-profanity law a month before the law went into effect. He was seeking a year-round liquor license at the time. And that comes from a Standard Times article. And then when it reopened as a private club in after the fire in 1971, it reverted back to the Hell's Blazes name. So it's been 20 years now since that place closed, and yet everybody was still sharing memories of it like it was yesterday. So I'd be interested in taking any of your memories from Hell's Blazes. I know it was the place that a lot of folks went to when they were looking for a fancy night out. When it was a private club, I know they had a dress code, but I don't think it had a dress code when it was a restaurant. But you always dressed a little nicer when you went to Hell's Blazes. And it's where, you know, they had some pretty fancy food, but the prices aren't really as expensive as you thought they would be. Because I remember the first time I went there, I was expecting, you know, high prices, but they weren't terrible. Nowadays, who knows what it would cost to eat dinner there, but their prime rib dinner was $24. And even in 2004, well, I guess really 2003 would have been when they were up. But, you know, when you looked back at their prices then, they were still pretty good for that quality of food and that type of atmosphere. So it was a fancier place that the common man could afford to go to. And it's where I tried escargot for the first time. I went there to do a Standard Times review for the dine out. And they were on the menu. And I said, you know what? I'm gonna try those. And I enjoyed them. And I've had them a few other times since then, but I just don't see them on menus very often. But they were certainly worth the, I think it was $12 for them. Which back then you would say $12 for an appetizer. Appetizers are like $5, $6. No, not anymore. But also between then and now, I think it's been a relatively recent trend over the last 20 years or so where appetizers are meals for a lot of people. Like a lot of people just order an app as their meal. Or maybe order two apps and that's their meal. But the prices, you can find out what the prices were by looking at that story at WBSM.com and on the app, because there's a picture of the menu in there that the Deering family shared. And I don't know exactly when, what time period that menu is from, but it seems pretty consistent with the prices that I remember from when I went there in the early 2000s. So I would guess it's probably around that time period. But people were remarking about the baked stuffed shrimp, the tornadoes of beef. That was the first time I think my ex-wife ever had filet mignon was at Hell's Blazes. And then that became what you would order a lot of times when we went out for steak. So it really was a place that meant a lot to a lot of people and over the course of hundreds of years. And now it is no longer there. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. I'm not going to say Happy New Year.
Okay.
Okay. I think we can play tribute to Ruthie by getting rid of that ugly monstrosity that stands outside the Hastings building downtown, or the federal building, whatever you want to call it, and replace it with a statue of Ruthie, who went through hell but gave us many years of enjoyment.
So you want to replace the sea flower with an elephant statue?
You can call it a sea flower. I call it a bunch of turds. That's what it was.
Well, the sea flower is what the name of the structure is.
I know that's the name of it, but it doesn't fit. Not with me. Now, I thought you were going to say, who's going to pay for it? I have an answer for you.
Okay.
We are giving away free needles to drug addicts to kill themselves, and now we want to give them a place where they can go in and kill themselves safely. Are you kidding me? There better be a beautiful statue of Ruthie outside that building, and it better pop up. Forget the needles. They know what they're doing. They're making a conscious decision to shoot up and get high, and then the fire trucks come rushing to them, the same people, over and over, for Narcan, over and over and over. I'm sick and tired of hearing that. Sick and tired of hearing it. I want a beautiful statue downtown.
Well, I don't know if the federal building is the place to put it, only because the federal government is looking to shut down that building, and so that building may no longer be in use in the future. So it's probably not a good idea to put a statue there.
Well, we could find another place, but what are they going to replace where that building is? There'll be nothing there. So, why do they want to remove it for?
Yeah, I guess they said that the services that are utilized there aren't enough to keep it running, so they were thinking about shutting it down. The mayor is pushing back on that. But I also know that at some point there's talk of there's going to be a new courthouse built, and that maybe they'll build a justice center similar to what is in Fall River, and maybe that becomes the area between the federal building and the courthouse that exists now. Maybe, like, you know, again, this is all stuff that's, you know, down the line in the future, but these are things that are on the docket of happening.
So you're saying there wasn't enough services in it?
That's what the federal government was saying, yeah.
There's a big line off that door all the way down the street.
Yeah, but they're saying those services can be moved to somewhere else and that building doesn't need to be utilized anymore.
Yeah, the services could go by automatic calling the line. Are you kidding me? You're waiting online with loud music for an hour to get your turn. You are number 2,000 in the queue, okay? It's sickening, even when you call by phone to begin with. If you want a proof of income taper and you try to get on that line, it's ridiculous. And most of the time, if you do get a live person, they don't even speak English. It's so bad. You don't even know what they're saying to you. You ever call Xfinity? That is one of the worst. Okay? Whoever answers their phone, if you can live long enough while you're waiting on the line an hour or two, and then when they come on, they sound like God knows where, India, China, I don't know, but I understand. I say, please connect me to someone who speaks better English. One moment, please. And then the next guy is worse than that one. So there's a lot of things that need to be changed around here.
Let me ask you a question. Why wouldn't you want to see a statue of Ruth go to the actual Buttonwood Park?
Well, first of all, the park's fine with me, but the zoo needs to be gone. We don't need the zoo. We're still kidnapping animals all the time. What happened to those panda bears? They were supposed to be there temporarily. Did they ever go back? Did you find that out and put it over the air for me? You know, talk about over the air. It's getting so difficult to listen to the talk shows at night now. I'm sick and tired of hearing about that woman's mother dying of diabetes at an early age. Go to your doctor and check out your kidneys. We all go to doctors, so who is that ad for? All that ad is talking about is go to your doctor. That way he can medicate you and kill you faster. That's all that is. That's what that's about. A whole ad, which they play every 4 minutes. Every 4 minutes with five other ads all at the same time.
Doctors saved my life when it came to my kidneys, so.
Must be, okay, I was not referring to you, no. I'm referring to the ads every 4 or 5 minutes. Whatever show they have on, you only get to hear the callers and the moderator like 2 minutes, and boom, the same ads over and over. So, of course, I have to switch around looking for other channels where people are actually talking.
So well, I mean, we don't handle the ads on that. They program their ads, so they know what they've got.
Who programs the ads?
The network.
Yes, but they're coming over to WBSM.
Yeah, but we don't have control over that. They just play the ads that they play.
But you get a cut of it, don't you?
No, we just put the shows on from our syndication partners for the syndicated things. They sell their own ads. They run their own ads. They're the ones that are charging.
No, but I'm talking about, doesn't BSM get any part of that money? You're putting it over the air to make me sick every 5 minutes.
Listen, if you don't like it, you can reach out to the shows and tell them that you don't want to hear it.
The daytime shows don't do it. Like, you have ads, yeah, but it's not every 4 minutes.
Yeah, because we're not on the network during the day. Our company controls what's going out for the ads. At night, it's a syndicated partner that carries all that. So it's Westwood One.
One last time. How are we coming along with that place where people can go shoot up? Did they pass that or what?
Not that I've heard.
I want to go protest over there. No more free needles, guys. You want to kill yourself? Do it out in public so everybody can see it. Okay, that's what I want. I want them to stop giving needles.
Okay, I think that that's I don't think that that's necessarily where the money has to come from if they wanted to build a statue.
No, I understand that. I'm just talking in general. Stop giving them free stuff.
Okay, but I do like the idea of an elephant statue. That's a good idea.
All right. I'm glad you backed me up on that. Have a great day. Thank you very much.
All right, take care. 508-996-0500. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Mary. I think the idea of a statue is a great idea. But I also don't know if that's going to be part of the city's plan to memorialize Ruth. Especially because if you're gonna make a statue for Ruth, you probably should make one for Emily too. And it should be the two of them together, even though, you know, Emily is still with us. But I think, you know, they kind of have been seen hand in hand, trunk and trunk, for a long time. So maybe you have to have something that honors both of them. And I think having a statue at the zoo would be a good idea. Or you know, at Buttonwood Park would be a good idea. But I also think, too, that, in my opinion, you know, you can never have enough statues. We're getting some new monuments coming in the future. Getting the Melville statue. We're getting the, which there's a meeting coming up to determine designs on that. We're getting a new memorial for the more recent active combat participants. It'll be in the South End on the beach. To me, I'm a fan of memorials and statues, as long as they're for the right people, the right causes. And I think having one for the elephants would be a great idea. But if you're going to make a life-size statue, that's going to be expensive. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Let's go back to the phones before we have to go to the news. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me call back in, Tim.
It's all right. I figured you might have gotten something sparked from Mary's call there.
Well, yeah. It was actually, yes. I've been wanting to talk about it, but it was too fresh because I would have cried. Because the last time we talked about the elephant, I told you that elephant, they're meant to be in herds, and they mourn just as bad as human beings for a loss, if not even worse, because they will die of loneliness. And see, I don't want to do this. I don't want to cry. But the one thing I do want to say is the Buttonwood Park Zoo is not going to have any more elephants.
Right. Once Emily passes, that'll be the end of the elephant area.
Yes, and the pandas, we used to be able to watch them. She's talking about the red pandas, a little bit, you know.
No, she's talking about the pandas that came in the exchange program They didn't come to Buttonwood. They went to a different zoo.
Okay, but we did get the red panda.
Right, red panda. But yeah, but red pandas have been there for a while. This is. She's talking more about the Asian pandas that came in the exchange program.
She's
been talking about that for a while now.
Yeah. But yeah. So I'm just glad there won't be no more. But I'm just so sad. I just know the other elephant's going to pass away, and it just breaks my heart. I don't think anything should ever die alone. I don't know. That's just me. I'm just a mushy person. But I did want to say a donkey died from the Roger Williams Zoo. Willie was his name, and he was there 22 or 24 years. So they're having a big loss, too.
I didn't realize that donkeys live that long.
I didn't either. And for him to get to the zoo, he must have already been like 2 to 3 years old or something. So this donkey was definitely, I think they said 22 or 24. I've never been to that zoo, but I do want to go. And I would love to see something memorialized in the Buttonwood Park Zoo area for Emily and Ruth.
I'm sure they've got some ideas.
The donors, you know, we can donate money.
I'm sure they have some plans in the works, but as Barry reported today, you know, they're still finalizing things of how they're going to honor the elephants.
Yeah, so. Barry writes really great stories. I told him, I said, listen, don't ever think nobody's not reading. I loved his story about Abe Lincoln and connections to New Bedford. Yeah,
yep.
He writes good stories. So don't you? But anyways, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you for taking my call again.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. You too.
And 508-996-0500. We'll take more of your calls, but right now I've got to turn things over to Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom.
An act of terror in New Orleans, a fond farewell to Jimmy Carter, and protecting yourself against norovirus.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
At least 10 people are dead and dozens injured after a vehicle drove into a crowd on New Orleans' famous Bourbon Street. The FBI says it's investigating the event as an act of terrorism. A truck plowed into a group of people celebrating New Year's in the French Quarter early New Year's morning, and the driver got out, started firing a weapon, with police returning fire. The suspect is dead, has been identified as Shamsuddin Jabbar. Fox News reports others may have also been involved in the attack. The FBI is in charge of the investigation and also looking into possible explosives found at the scene. President Biden says he's grateful for the brave and swift response from law enforcement in New Orleans. He said his Homeland Security team has briefed him on the deadly incident that saw a truck plow through a crowd. Biden's directed his team to ensure every resource is available for the city. He added his heart goes out to the victims and their families who are simply trying to celebrate the holiday. Biden ended his statement by saying, quote, there's no justification for violence of any kind, and we will not tolerate any attack on our nation's communities. Two men are injured in separate New Year's Day subway stabbings in Manhattan. Both attacks happened about 9:30 in the morning. Police say in the first, the attacker didn't like the way a rider looked at him. They argued, and cops say he knifed the 30-year-old in the head, side, and hips. In the other attack, a 31-year-old man was stabbed in the back on a train in Greenwich Village. Both of the suspects are male and fled on foot. The victims reportedly are in stable condition. Police have descriptions of the men, surveillance video, and are on the hunt. The nation preparing to say a final goodbye to former President Jimmy Carter. A series of formal events will begin January 4th in Plains, Georgia, culminating with a service at Washington National Cathedral on January 9th. Carter's remains will then be transported back to Plains for a public motorcade route and private funeral service. Health experts say with a surge of norovirus across the country, it's a good idea to be prepared in case you get it. Dr. Bruce Hirsch, an infectious disease specialist at Northwell Health, tells the New York Post to make sure you've got Pedialyte or sports drinks on hand to stay hydrated. That's because norovirus typically causes severe vomiting and diarrhea that lasts 1 to 3 days. Other doctors say having Imodium around to treat diarrhea and an anti-nausea drug like Zofran are helpful. You'll need to eat too, so health experts recommend bland food like plain rice or pasta and avoiding dairy products. Frequent hand washing with soap and water is important, but most doctors say hand sanitizers don't do much good against norovirus.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly cloudy and gusty today, a high of 39 degrees here on the South Coast. On Friday, mostly sunny, windy as well, with a high of 36 degrees. For the weekend, clouds return along with the wind. On Saturday, a high of 32 degrees, a high of 28 degrees on Sunday. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in, 508-996-0500, and, you know, here we are 2 days into the new year, and some of you might have already broken your New Year's resolution, but that's all right, because Brax Grill and Tap has a resolution that you can keep. This year, make it a habit to treat yourself to lunch at Brax, because at Brax, they have a lunch value menu that is just $12.99 Monday through Friday. So what can you get on that lunch value menu? How about a half pizza and salad combo? How about the saucy bird chicken sandwich or their pasta of the day? Plus, you can warm up with Brax's famous brisket chili, their Portuguese kale soup, or their classic clam chowder. You want a burger? Try Brax's famous bourbon bacon burger. They also have chicken and waffles and barbecue turkey tips. They've even got a kids menu. So if you still got a few days where the kids are out of school and you want to bring them out for lunch at Brax Grill and Tap, you can do that as well. One of my favorite items at Brax, the 1 pound meatball. Brax Grill and Tap in Taunton and Brockton and online at braxgrillandtap.com. So check it out. If you haven't been to Brax, you are missing out on some fantastic food, fantastic atmosphere, some great drinks as well. All right, my number here, 508-996-0500, if you want to call in and get involved in the conversation. I did like Mary's idea about, you know, a statue for Ruth and probably a statue for both elephants. But as I mentioned, you know, I think it'd be great in Buttonwood Park somewhere. And maybe is it possible that it could be the kind of statue that people can interact with, that they can go up to and walk on and climb and all that stuff. That might get dangerous, because if it's life size, you're talking about, it's pretty high up and people climb up on top of that thing and sit on top of it. That's going to be dangerous. So maybe that's not a great idea, but having a statue, I think, is a good idea. And as I said, you know, who knows what Buttonwood Park has planned for the future of that space and the way that they want to honor Ruth and possibly Emily as well. But the city does plan on having a memorial coming up. So you can find out more about that when we know about it. But you can read more about the current plans at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app with Barry's article today. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Ace Ventura climbing out of the elephant's butt.
Yeah, I don't think we need that in a statue.
Yeah, you just kind of planted that in our heads.
But that is still one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen in a movie. I mean, I was on the floor of the theater laughing at that.
Yeah, that's one of those that you can't, like, once you see it, you can't unsee it. So
exactly,
it always comes back, like famous movie quotes and stuff like that. I'm going to get serious for a second. And I guess I'm curious on your opinion about it. But these terrorist attacks that happened yesterday, they've both been tied together. Both of the perpetrators served at Fort Bragg. Now, would you equate that sort of terrorism to the, you know, from the river to the sea, the anti-Israelis? You see Palestinian marches everywhere, and there was actually one in New Bedford with local politicians marching.
I don't know, because it seems like from what the reporting has been, that this has been kind of an ongoing, I guess if you want to call it a radicalization, at least in terms of the New Orleans perpetrator, it's been kind of something that has been an ongoing thing. So I don't know if necessarily, you know, that might have come, you know, all of these protests might have come later in the game of when this person's radicalization would have started.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Would you like to hear a public statement coming from those politicians that were marching with the people, the socialist group or whatever in downtown New Bedford, marching down Union Street? Would you like to hear a statement from them condemning these terrorist attacks?
Well, I think every elected official probably would condemn them. I don't think anybody would be in support of them. But I also think that, you know, you don't want to make a false equation by making a statement if there isn't an equation there. If it came out that that it was somehow connected, then yeah, you know, then it's worth saying, while I did support this cause, I don't support, you know, the extremes that certain people have taken things to. But if there's no connection there, or if the FBI or law enforcement hasn't determined that connection, I wouldn't want them to say anything that would give the false impression that there was a connection there.
Right. That would be like equating Westboro Baptist people to the Amish.
Right. I mean, unless you have a direct reason to connect the two, don't take it upon yourself to do so.
Yeah. I still would like to hear some sort of statement, say, from Shane Burgo and the other politicians that marched with that group. I'd like to hear a statement from them kind of condemning these terrorist attacks and the ideology that it's coming out has led to those attacks.
But again, unless you know that there's a direct link, then you are taking it upon yourself to make that connection. And I don't know that that's such a good idea, because you don't want to put out false information. If it came out that there was a connection, then yeah, I could understand wanting that. But I don't think you need to have them come out and be against it if there is no connection there, because I think universally everybody would be against it. I don't think anybody's going to come out and say they're for terrorist attacks.
Well, you gotta. I don't know. It's a thought process throughout the day today and yesterday. It was an interesting day. I'm just saying that it's going to take some thought and the way that we progress as a nation from here on.
Absolutely.
I do know that what came to my mind is Emperor Hirohito, when he was confronted with the idea of attacking on U.S. soil. He said, there's a gun behind every blade of grass. So that, you know, basically saying it's not a good idea to attack the United States on U.S. soil, because everybody's armed here. So I'm hoping that foreign adversaries haven't started anything here. You know, I hope these are isolated incidents and it doesn't progress.
All right. Thank you for the call. Have a good day.
Yep.
And I mean, I guess it's not the right word to use in terms of fortunate, but we are fortunate that a lot of these situations that happen, a lot of these attacks that happen, are usually individuals that have their own mental illness, their own mental struggles, and so that they're drawn to these ideologies, as opposed to it being, you know, planted sleeper agents for these organizations. This is more of a matter of somebody who falls, and again, I don't know anything about this particular case, and I'm just speaking in generalities here, but that it's usually somebody who has something that goes on in their life that causes them to be susceptible to these mindsets and these ideologies, as opposed to it being a planned out say, ISIS-led and supported attack. They're just far too easy of a ideology for people to turn to when they feel as if the world has wronged them. When they feel as if, you know, the United States has left them behind, who do they turn to? The enemy of the United States. So it's not so much that ISIS is actively trying to recruit people, especially people in the military. I don't think that that's necessarily the case, although it could very well be. I think it's more a matter of these are people who have a struggle, a problem, and because they are constantly provided information about these outside sources, these enemies of the United States, then that becomes the natural thing for them to turn to when they feel like their own country has abandoned them, or when they feel like their own support systems have abandoned them. They start to think, well, gee, maybe we're wrong here. Maybe they are right. Maybe we are evil. Maybe we do need to be taken down. Maybe we do need to have something that causes radical change. And that could be it. It could also be, too, that this guy was just fed up with his life and said, you know what, I'm done, and I'm going to take as many people as I can with me, and you know what, I'm going to cause a little extra fear by throwing an ISIS flag in my truck and a sticker on one of the IEDs as well. I don't think that that's the case, because as they've been saying, they're looking for other people that were involved as well. So I think that this goes a little bit bigger, but I would also say, you know, don't be surprised if sometimes people drape themselves in the cause of others that they don't necessarily support, but that they're just using to just leave a little bit more of a lasting mark, or to maybe even throw people off as to the reason why they did something. You know, this person could have been fed up with their life in general, and, you know, it's a particular reason or person that pushed them to it, but they don't want anybody to ever realize that particular person or reason. So this is a way to kind of deflect from that. That's another thing that I think happens in some of these cases. But in this particular case, where it seems that there are multiple people working together, what caused them to fall into that ideology? It could be that this person has always thought that way. It could be that other people involved have always thought that way. It could be that all of them kind of found each other through this mutual despair and went down this path. So I guess the FBI will find out as much as they can. I mean, the good thing is these co-conspirators, as far as we know, are still alive. So these co-conspirators, if they can find them and question them, can get a better picture and a better sense of what's going on. So this isn't a single perpetrator attack where once that person is gone, we no longer get any answers and we're stuck with just a forensic audit of social media posts and diary writings and things like that. No, this might be something where we actually can question people that were involved if it turns out they were all involved. Got to take a break here. 508-996-0500. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. Absolutely 1,000% the best Ozzy Osbourne song of all Ozzy Osbourne songs. And he's got a lot of great ones, but No More Tears, far and away the best song. And also a great shampoo for kids. Right? Remember? Johnson & Johnson, No More Tears. I don't know. I don't think I ever cried getting my hair washed, but I guess I can understand that that's an issue for some kids. 508-996-0500. If you want to call in and chime in. In the final few moments before we give way to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now, programming note for you, starting today, if you missed me talking about this earlier, starting today, the Howie Carr Show has changed its hours. So instead of being on from 3 to 7, Howie is now on from 2 to 6. And of course, we still have Barry Richard on from 2 to 3. So we're going to be picking Howie up at that second hour. We'll have Howie Carr every day from 3 to 6. And then at 6 p.m., we will have an hour of the best of Howie before Mark Levin at 7 o'clock. We're still trying to figure out what to do with that hour from 6 to 7. So we're looking at some different possibilities. But for now, you'll have a best of Howie Carr from 6 to 7. And then Mark Levin at 7, Charlie Kirk at 10. So we didn't want to change the whole schedule. And we thought about putting Howie on a tape delay so that you could hear the whole show, but then that loses the ability for you to call in live while you're listening. And we know that so many of Howie Carr's callers come from the WBSM audience, so we wanted to make sure that you didn't lose the ability to hear the show live. So you'll get Howie Carr every day from 3 to 6, and then the best of Howie from 6 to 7 while we look at other options for that time slot. Just trying not to change the schedule up too much. You know, we can shift all shows around, but then, you know, it might throw things all the way off. So we just want to make sure that we give you great content and make it accessible to you at the times that you want to listen. And if you want to hear that first hour of Howie, you can always catch it on the podcast they post every day at HowieCarShow.com. Let's take a call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Yeah, pretty good. You made a reference to Ace Ventura earlier and that comic scene there from the movie.
Yes.
Do you recall a show called The Tracy Ullman Show when Fox first...
I do, yeah.
...become a net... It was, to me, it was like the fastest half hour on TV. But what I remember was that they had so many people who started in show business on that show. You had the Wayan brothers who did comedy skits on there. You had Jim Carrey, who was extremely young, playing Ranger Rick.
Oh no! I think you're confusing the Tracy Ullman Show with In Living Color.
Yeah, but I think that's what they called the show, was In Living Color. But
no, they're two different shows. The Tracy Ullman Show had a different cast, yeah. And then a few years after that, they had In Living Color, which was the Wayans brothers and Jim Carrey, and he played Fire Marshal Bill.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And they also, I know on the original Tracy Ullman Show, they started The Simpsons.
Yep, they were a little short cartoon that appeared.
Right, like 5 minutes, right, mm-hmm. near the end of the show, and that became like a big thing, you know?
And now look at it, you know, almost 40 years later, The Simpsons still on the air.
Yeah, I thought that was very interesting, both of those shows.
Fox took a lot of chances back in those days.
Yes, they did. And, of course... That was a hit for them, but their big hit was, of course, Married with Children, which I never really cared for that much, but that put them on the map, too. But, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Bye.
Got to take one last break here. We'll be right back. All right, and in the final few moments that we have here, I just want to remind you all that now that the new year, it's new year and new you, right? You want to have a better diet, right? You want to eat better. You want to eat better for yourself and you want to eat better quality food, right? Go to the butcher shop and get all the protein that you need right there. Whether it be their seafood, their chicken, their steaks, they've got good quality. We're talking prime. We're talking choice. You're going to get stuff there that you won't find at the supermarket. I made the mistake of picking up some burgers at the supermarket that when I cooked them up, I was like, these are terrible. I ended up giving one to the cat. Because it just wasn't, but that's why I should only get my meat at the butcher shop. I should learn my lesson because they have such great quality stuff over there all the time. Start off the new year right. Get some celebrity pork chops. Grill those up tonight and have yourself something delicious. And of course, you can get other groceries there as well because it's a real old school neighborhood market. Check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And keep them in mind for all of your upcoming, you know, different parties. You're going to have a Super Bowl party, maybe. You're going to have some different things that are happening over the course of the winter where you just don't feel like cooking. You can always stop in the butcher shop and get some of their great pre-made food as well. So whether you're putting in an order for a party platter or you just need to stop and get dinner for the family, they've got it all right there for you to make your life a little bit easier. Check out the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, and make sure you tell them that you heard about it on WBSM. That's going to do it for me for today. Stay tuned for Christmas.